I am Paul Harris. Dan Strauss and Ian Geiser here with me, and now Colin Jeffrey joins us for the showbiz segment of the show, because we feel after the heavy stuff that's been going on in the last 24, 48, 72, 96, all week long.
2016.
Yeah, all of 2016. Yeah, really. We just feel that it's going to have to be lighter stuff today. And so Colin and I are going to talk about movies and showbiz stuff. And then in about a half hour, we're going to be joined by a guy who's written an oral history of Star Trek, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. So what's coming up with the movies that you've seen, Colin?
Well, this week I saw just one movie, but it's going to be the big winner, The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, is that a true story?
Dan's been looking forward to this.
Right out of the way now. Well, that's because they've been throwing it in your face for a year. A year, the marketing run-up for this.
Wow.
So they're betting big.
Okay, what's it about?
This is Illumination Studios. He's behind Despicable Me and Minions and all those movies. This is about what happens when your pets aren't there. It centers around Max, the little terrier, voiced by Louis C.K., it's not edgy Louis C.K. because it's family fair.
Mm-hmm. Is this PG?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this centers around Max, who has an owner. He loves her. They get along great. And of course, you know, I mean, dogs are pretty happy animals. But when his owner leaves, what happens during the day? Well, they live in an apartment building in New York, so he's got other friends. He's got Mel, the bulldog, who's up, Chloe, the cat, Gidget, the dog, all these different dogs. And they get together and have, you know, a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day his owner brings home Duke, and Duke is a gigantic, fluffy Newfoundland dog that threatens to ruin his life, his perfect life with his owner, because she's now going to have to split her affections.
It's like when you're the first born, and then mom and dad bring home the second born child.
Yes.
And your life is ruined.
And yeah. So
I'm not speaking as an older brother at all in this way, just in case my brother downloads the show today.
But I know this dog looks like, kind of like, and Paul in this room will be the only one that gets this, kind of looks like Ralph from the Jimmy Dean show.
Wow.
Jeez. That was one of the first talkies. So what happens, of course, is he decides, well, Duke, this cannot stand, so I'm going to make you out to be the bad guy, and I'm going to do horrible things. Well, of course, they get lost. Now I'm going to tell you this story, except I'm going to substitute some names.
Okay.
Well, this little kid has this character named Woody, who's a cowboy, and one day he brings home a new thing that's a spaceman named Buzz, and they don't get along, and they get lost in the city, and all of the other animals have to, or all the other toys have to go track down Woody and Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Just replace those names and go back to Max and Duke.
Well, that's what I thought of when you told me this movie is about what happens with your pets when the humans aren't around. That's Toy Story.
This is Toy Story with fur.
Okay.
And less funny and less good and less touching, fewer touching moments, and just, it is not as good a movie. I really struggled with how to review this because I took my daughter with me. I took my wife. My wife loved the parts that were like that dog behavior. You know how everyone who has a dog is like, oh my God, you're going to see things. You're like, my dog is totally like that.
So they get that right.
They get that. They nail that.
And when they sniff their butts, then they're going around in a circle. Because that's in the trailer.
Yes.
That's what pulled me in.
And there's plenty of moments like that. And I got sucked. I like, yep, I can see my dog in this. I can see that these people also have dogs. My daughter loved it because it has enough sort of slapstick humor. But if you recall last year with Minions, it was one of my least favorite movies of the year. It just had a disjointed mess of a story with just lots of madcap running around and goofiness. That's this movie. Kevin Hart plays a character in this. It's like a secret underground gang dog. Think the next door neighbor's toys in Toy Story, the kind of rough around the edges. Sid's toys,
yeah.
Think that. And he's just, I hate seeing this about a kid's movie. He plays a racial stereotype. That's it. Like, it's just like, hey, can you believe a rough around the edges black character? Welcome Kevin Hart.
Is he a black lab?
No.
Yeah.
He's a small dog. He's a chihuahua or some just miserable ankle biter. I don't like small dogs. Yeah. I'm just going to say it. Love big dogs, small dogs.
Okay. So you probably were on Duke's side in this movie.
I was on the side of the credits. Just get here.
Let's get to the credits.
Dude, fetch the credits.
That's not good when you go to a movie and you're thinking, is it time for the credits yet? Can you roll this, please?
That's not good.
It was frustrating from that. I really struggled because I feel like I should be in this demo because Toy Story still holds up as a kid, as a teen, as an adult, holds up. This was just not good, really. It was
what did your daughter
average.
Think?
She laughed her brain out. Like, loved it. Oh, this was funny. She was talking. She was calling. She's still calling our dogs by the names in the movie. And so they're developing split personalities because our dogs happen to look like one of the dogs in the movie. And so, yes. So she loved it. And she's four going on five. There were kids all around us. They were loving it. So it's good. But Finding Dory was better. And it's just tough when two animated movies are in at the same time. I mean,
kids don't understand, though.
Yeah, it's not bad, but it's. I didn't think it was very enjoyable. It was.
What do you give it on a scale of 10?
I give it 4.
Okay.
But your kids are gonna love it. Like, it's cute dogs. There's a few things that are. I guess maybe I didn't realize it. There's a lot of potty humor and things that I think.
Well,
are
I was
just...
going to say I haven't seen the movie, but I saw the trailer for it. I know at one point one of the dogs sneezes and poops, and I thought, well, Dan's going to like that part.
Oh yeah, I'm going to go see it just for that. I go see it for that and the dogs walking in a circle sniffing their butts.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, I mean, your kids will love it. You might be a little bit of a yawner.
Okay,
but it'll be the big movie. It's going to have an enormous weekend.
Okay, like what? How much?
85 to 90 million. It could be the second largest animated opening. Or one of the
you
largest
think it's going to win?
Openings. Oh, yeah.
You don't think Finding Dory's going to...
Finding Dory's going to be in second place with $23 million.
You are being specific today. Speaking of box office, last weekend you reviewed the BFG, the Steven Spielberg animated
movie. No, I didn't
movie.
Review it. I wanted to see it.
But... Oh, well, we talked about
yeah.
it. It did not do well at the box office, only made $19.6 million.
Yeah.
That movie must have cost an enormous amount more than that.
Yes. Yeah.
So is it considered a failure?
Yeah. It's rough, especially because Charlie and the Chocolate Factory has spawned two versions of that, and they're doing another one, I believe, with Johnny Depp. And the Witches did well back in the, I guess, early 90s. Matilda was a launching, was the high point of that young lady's career.
Oh, I loved Matilda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the other Roald Dahl novels turned into movies.
Yeah.
This just missed it, and I've been reading a lot of people think it's because of the title.
What do you mean? The BFG is a bad title?
The BFG. Yeah. It stands for Big Friendly Giant.
Yeah, everybody thinks the F stands for something else.
What?
Thinks all of it. And so this got me doing some research on some movies with really bad titles. So
oh, okay.
We'll go through a few of these. The Constant Gardener with Ralph Fiennes. It's very go back and watch it.
It's
very good.
It's
movie.
An art movie.
Yes, yeah. But it's a good drama. It's got a little thriller in there. I liked it.
Okay.
Great Rotten Tomatoes. That means how many critics approved of it versus didn't. 84% of critics approved. It only made $33 million.
Mm-hmm.
A bad title killed that. John Carter, a bad title on a bad movie. It killed it. That they think
that's
that
the
caused...
one with Taylor Kitsch
yes.
going to Mars.
Yes, exactly. Okay. What, you don't know what John Carter means.
No, no idea.
That may be one of the biggest flops. I think marketing and everything that could cost upwards of $600 million, and it made $73 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's bad. A few others. A Bond movie, Octopussy.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible title.
Oh, not for a Bond movie.
Yes, it's a horrible
that's
title.
Like, that's like your average character name.
That's the only one I saw.
Quantum of Solace, another Bond movie.
Yeah, Quantum of Solace, absolutely
that's
terrible.
Well, because Quantum, they make that the bad group, the Quantum or whatever, but they never explain the of Solace. It makes no sense.
No sense at all.
Geely.
Oh, that's
I don't think there was nothing that could have saved that movie.
No, but it's a horrible...
I actually, that movie got such bad reviews and such bad box office.
You watched it.
I hate watched that movie.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted to see, can it really be as bad as everybody said? And I got to tell you, everybody was wrong. It was worse than that.
Yeah. And then I've got a few, I figured out...
People who gave it a zero were way high.
They were generous.
Yeah.
This is a funny one. It's called Chud.
Cannibalistic, humanoid, underground dwellers.
Oh, my gosh, you knew what it meant. That's amazing. Yeah.
I remember when that movie came out, I was doing a morning show at the time, and we did a parody of it called Judd, which was really about Judd Hirsch from Taxi. Apparently, he'd been forced to live underground for some reason with his taxi.
And the absolute worst titles for a franchise, Alvin and the Chipmunks. We're going to go through these. The second one, Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
And Alvin and the Chipmunks, Road Chip.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like all of these have done worse and worse at the box office. Those are just a few. And it shows, like, to Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Oh, yes.
That movie
may be the worst.
It's not a horrible movie, but that is one of the all-time worst.
Yeah, I agree.
I have no idea. That's worse than Chud. And then I Heart Huckabees with the actual heart in the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good movie. It's kind of artsy, but yeah.
Well, I think I speak for a lot of people in the radio business when I say anything that starts with I Heart probably sucks.
Yes.
That's true.
Also opening this weekend, the other movies that are opening this weekend, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
I like all the moving parts in this, but there's no way I'm
going to
go see this
movie. I was
thinking
about going to see it because I haven't seen just a silly movie in a while, and then I saw it starred Zac Efron, and I went, well, I guess I'm not seeing that.
Yeah. But Aubrey Plaza, Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, I like some of the other people who are in it, but
yeah. There's no way I'm going to see that.
No. There's one called Wiener Dog. What's that about? How and why is it coming out at the same time as The Secret Life of Pets?
Because it's by the guy who did Happiness. That's another really weird. I can't think of the director.
Todd.
Yeah.
Something. I can't remember.
Todd Nichols.
Solens or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous name.
Is it animated or?
No. It tells the story of the wiener dog in the different dysfunctional homes. It's going to be really weird because all of his movies are. And I think it's playing on like two screens.
Okay, so that'll make $8 this weekend.
Yep.
And then there's another documentary coming out this weekend called The Music of Strangers. I saw a screener of this and I watched about half of it and I kind of got the whole thing and I was done. It's about Yo-Yo Ma, the world famous cellist, and a group of musicians from around the world who he's been doing stuff with for the last decade called the Silk Road Ensemble. They're all very talented people. They all have fascinating lives. The music they make is wonderful, but I can only take so much of that kind of stuff. So I only watched it about halfway through. It was directed, by the way, by Morgan Neville, who made a great documentary a few years ago called 20 Feet from Stardom, which won the Oscar for Best Documentary. That's something, if you haven't seen, you should get on Netflix or Amazon Prime or wherever you can get it. It's about all the great backup singers who had their entire career 20 feet from stardom. You know, Mick Jagger's up front singing Gimme Shelter, and Mary Clayton is 20 feet behind him doing the high part at the end of the song with him. And he's, of course, Mick Jagger! And everybody's like, who's she? And the movie's about that, and it's wonderful. 20 feet from stardom.
Central Intelligence.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's what he wanted to see. He had to go see
Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart?
Yes.
Yeah, how was it?
It was good. I liked it. It was stupid humor, funny, kind of some slapstick stuff in it, but I thought it was and there was a little twist in there too. So I thought it was funny. There were some really good funny moments in it.
Okay. Let me give you two recommendations for this weekend. One is actually for later this year. Ron Howard has a Beatles documentary that's going to come out sometime in September, which has actual exclusive footage into the Beatles early in their career when they were on tour between 1962 and 1966. He did this with the cooperation of Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and George and John's widows, and they have some footage in there that's never been seen before. That'll be later this year. It's called 8 Days a Week, the touring years. And then there's a thing on HBO on Sunday night called The Night Of.
I've watched this.
You have?
Yes, it's available for streaming on HBO Go.
Okay.
The first 40 minutes are going to make you as uncomfortable as anything you have ever watched because you see what's coming, and you're meant to. The last 15 minutes, when John Turturro shows up, are so good.
This was originally This was originally a James Gandolfini project. He was going to make this movie as a series 3 years ago. At first, he didn't want to do it. Then HBO talked him into doing it, and he agreed to do it, and he shot the pilot in which his he only had a small part at the end yes. of that hour, and then he died after HBO had said, we're going to make it. And so they kind of put it on the shelf, and then they said, well, let's get De Niro to play that role. And De Niro agreed, and then he got something else that he was going to do, which was going to be ridiculous at the box office, probably The Intern.
The Intern 2.
With Anne Hathaway. and so he didn't get to do that, and now they've got John Turturro in
yes,
the lead.
And he's excellent.
I like everything he does.
But the person who really carries it and is sort of key to the entire series is going to be the young Pakistani-American who's at the center of this crime.
Okay, don't tell us too much about it.
Well, no, I'm not going to, other than I'm going to say, if you saw the movie Nightcrawler, Jake Gyllenhaal's assistant in Nightcrawler.
Okay.
This is a breakout role for him.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right. It's called The Night Of, and it's going to debut on Sunday night, and it runs for 8 weeks.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to checking that. I've already got the DVR set. All right. That's our showbiz stuff for this week on the Big 550 KTRS. When we come back, we'll talk with a guy who's written an oral history of Star Trek, which is this year celebrating its 50th anniversary.